Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jim Wild, President of the Food Research and Action Center. Previously, he was Program Director and General Counsel at the Children's Defense Fund, and he litigated major law reform and class action cases in the Federal Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court on Social Security, Medicaid, AFDC, food stamps, and other public benefit issues. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jim Wild.
Thank you, Ian. It's a pleasure to be on.
And obviously, it's a sad day. It started last Friday for many Americans. There are 47.6 million people receiving food stamps, and the cuts have begun last Friday, and they will increase over the years unless something is done about it. So let's get into the weeds here if we have to, but it's worth finding out. How did this come about? I understand it's not entirely to do with mean-spirited Republicans, that also the Democrats dropped the ball.
Well, I think that's fair, and there are really two things happening. One is this cut that's effective November 1st, which I'll come back to in a second, and the other is proposed further cuts being considered in Congress, especially driven by the conservatives in the House of Representatives, and those haven't been enacted yet, so those are far from inevitable. But the November 1st cuts are bad enough. What happened is in the 2009 Recovery Act, there was that included a important temporary boost in monthly food stamp benefits for everybody in the program. Important not just because it was important to the recovery, but because normally food stamp benefits aren't enough to get families through the month. And with this boost, it got closer to getting families through the month. And it was a temporary boost. It was supposed to end, but Congress decided to end it sooner, a couple years sooner than it otherwise was scheduled to end. So basically the last 2+ years of benefiting from this boost ended as of November 1st due to legislation from a couple years ago that did get Democratic as well as Republican support.
But in terms of the premise, which is that the deficit is the greatest threat to the United States, even though it's going down at record speed, that seems to be the excuse or the reason here. But it doesn't make any sense on the surface, because for every $1 in food stamps, you have 1.70. That's, you have $1.70 in economic activity that's generated. So who's making the, I mean, if the moral arguments don't work, how about the practical ones?
Right. Well, that's right. Both the moral and the practical arguments are overwhelming, but even overwhelming arguments sometimes don't work in a political system that's driven by more upscale voters and campaign donors. It's true that food stamps are considered essentially the single best economic stimulus, and that's because the people receiving food stamps, now called SNAP, of course, or in California, CalFresh, people receiving those benefits are so needy that they spend them very quickly, so it circulates in the economy very quickly and creates jobs and growth. And so reducing food stamp benefits harms growth. So something from J.P. Morgan that said these cuts will reduce growth over the next quarter by 0.2% of the gross national product. Well, 0.2% doesn't sound like a huge amount, but the economy is only growing at 2% a year, so 0.2% is a tenth of the growth just got knocked off by the food stamp cut, and that's many billions of dollars. So it's just ridiculous from an economic point of view. It's ridiculous from a health point of view, because cutting food stamp benefits makes children's and adult health worse. It's ridiculous if you care about poverty and hunger in this country, and it's ridiculous from a moral point of view. Pretty much any point of view you look at it, it's ridiculous. It does reduce the deficit, but reducing the deficit by harming low-income people is a really dumb way to reduce the deficit, although it often seems to be the only default way that deficit reduction happens when members of Congress get together.
But the deficit is being reduced to the equivalent of what, if you just canceled a couple of F-35 fighters that are a complete turkey, that don't work and cost billions each. I mean, there's no proportionality here in terms of affecting people that really are hurting to begin with. And as you pointed out, Jim Weil, that these food stamp benefits don't usually last the month with families. And a family of four, they're going to see their benefits shrink $36 to $632 a month for a family of four. And that means that, you know, it's a drop of $1.40 per meal. And they're already, you know, stretching the budget with lots of pasta and hamburger helper, et cetera. And that has impacts on obesity and childhood nutrition, et cetera. So it's just, there's such a horrible chain reaction going on here over chump change in terms of the whole federal government.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the deficit's coming down fast. A lot of the deficit mania isn't justified. The nation may have deficit problems over the long term, really doesn't have them over the short term. And even over the long term, you know, this nation's fundamental problem, given how huge our economy is and how high our per capita income is, although it's not distributed well, certainly, the nation's real problem is managing abundance, not managing scarcity. But our politics seem to be about managing scarcity. We need to change the psychology of that. And there is a danger in the short run in this budget negotiation that's going on with the December deadline, where a lot of members in Congress on both the liberal and conservative side want to understandably end the sequester, but the conservatives in particular want to end the sequester, which is the across-the-board cut insofar as it affects defense, that this new round of food stamp reductions may be put out there by conservatives as one way to pay for boosting the defense budget and having less of a cut in the defense budget. So there's this constant threat to food stamp programs from members of Congress who don't care about low-income people and don't care about these crucial and very effective low-income programs, who keep making up attacks on the programs, even though there are huge numbers of people in their districts who really need these programs as well, who need food stamps and the Earned Income Tax Credit and Medicaid and programs like that. That poverty is not concentrated in 100 congressional districts. It's everywhere in the country.
Again, I'm speaking with Jim Weil, president of Food Research and Action Center. Previously, he was program director and general counsel at the Children's Defense Fund, and he's litigated major law reform and class action cases in the federal courts of appeals and Supreme Court on Social Security, Medicaid, AFTC, food stamps, and other public benefit issues. Now, when you talk about cutting, the Republicans want to cut food stamps in order to preserve or restore military spending cut in the sequester. That sounds as if we're talking about, again, things like the F-35 fighter. When you have the military.com, the website that serves the armed forces community, reporting that nearly 1 million veterans and 5,000 active duty troops have been affected by these cuts in food stamps, that the fighting men and women and their families depend upon food stamps. So there, to me, is just an obscenity. You know, if they want to choose between the F-35 flying turkey and the food for active duty military and veterans, that ought to become the issue. I mean, what's happening on the Hill in terms of arguments, both on the moral and practical level?
Well, you know, I think the problems in Congress are worse than they were, but these aren't new problems in terms of conflicts between programs that are important to low-income people and programs that are important to others. The food stamp debate is also caught up with farm subsidies, and a lot of farm subsidies are programs that were bad ideas to start with or have or outlive their usefulness. So it's not just military spending where there's room to have savings. There are other places, too. Fundamentally, we have a problem in our politics of low-income people and increasing numbers of low-income people, many of whom are working at low-wage jobs, but their numbers are growing. And, of course, many of whom are jobless because the economy hasn't come back and the job creation that the government should be doing hasn't been happening. Growing numbers of low-income people struggling in a world where supports for them may be declining, shrinking, because members of Congress are looking to do other things, often because of campaign contributions from very wealthy donors whose contributions are unlimited because of the Citizens United decision. So you're right. I mean, there are real problems in the system in terms of allocating important government expenditures where they're most needed.
Well, the SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, otherwise known as food stamps, that's administered through the Department of Agriculture, also, of course, administered the farm subsidies. And one of the more egregious examples, of this lack of compassion, even though I think the biggest recipient of farm aid in the state of Tennessee, this Republican congressman, his family farm makes millions out of the government not to grow anything per year. He gets up on the floor and quotes the Bible, saying that he who does not work doesn't deserve to be fed, as if these people are indolent. So many of them are children. Isn't that the more unconscionable part of it? I mean, you've got 8.9 million families with children depending upon these payments, which average out at only $135 per month. And the current poverty level is $18,530 a year for a family of three. I defy most people to try and live on $18,000 a year.
Right. Just as an aside, the congressman you're talking about, Representative Stephen Fincher from Tennessee, whose family, he and his family have gotten several million dollars in farm subsidies over the last decade, although I don't think they're the biggest recipients of farm subsidies in Tennessee, but he's been one of the most outspoken proponents of cutting food stamps, quoting Jesus along the way. But somebody took a look at his home county, the county where he lives, and 20% of the people in that rural county, because poverty is as prevalent in rural areas as in metro areas in this country, 20% of the people in his home county receive food stamps. So again, that captures a congressman who's just totally unresponsive to the desperate need in his home district, in his home county, because he thinks less of the people receiving food stamps, or he thinks they're not going to vote, or whatever. And so his outspokenness about his religious belief that food stamps should be cut captures part of a significant part of the problem here.
Well, if it is, if it comes down to the priorities of Congress people, which are to raise money, and particularly from wealthy people, and under the current rules set by Citizens United, billionaires can give unlimited amounts of money without any attribution. So presumably they are seeking out those kind of people. But on the other side, given the impact on poor people in this congressman's county, I guess the sad fact is that he must be calculating that they're not going to vote. I mean, maybe they'd vote Democrat in any case, but is there, do you think there could be a backlash to get this guy out, which I think would be doing the Lord's work, frankly?
Yeah, and I don't know his district well enough to know whether it's possible. I do know that the polls show that a significant number of Republicans, not as many as Democrats, but a significant number of Republicans oppose cutting food stamps, and a more significant number of independents. So generally speaking, across the board, Americans oppose cutting food stamps, whether regardless of their race or ethnicity or gender or political party or region of the country. There are variations, but generally people oppose cutting food stamps. So the important thing is for constituents to say this is ridiculous, to write and email their members and say this is unacceptable. And they support this program. And if the members want to cut the deficit, believe they need to cut the deficit, they should find other better ways of doing it. But they don't want their members to cut food stamps.
Well, just in closing, Jim Wild, the Senate has a less draconian bill, but even it cuts food stamps, doesn't it?
Right. So in addition to this November 1st across-the-board cut, that's going to be about $11 billion over the next couple of years, the phase-out of the temporary increase. Then as part of the so-called reauthorization, which really means every few years Congress takes a look at all the programs, the reauthorization of the Farm Bill, which includes food stamps, the House has passed a bill to cut food stamps by $40 billion, and the Senate has passed a bill to reduce food stamps by $4 billion. Those bills are in a conference committee. That conference committee does not have to pick a number between those numbers. It could pick a zero number. And our position is there should be no cuts in food stamps. People should reach out not just to their Republican members and say, don't cut $40 billion, don't use the House number. They should reach out to their Democratic members and say, food stamp cuts are unacceptable to me, even the $4 billion. And there are many, many members of both the House and the Senate who have taken the position publicly that any cuts are unacceptable. And the president, while we would encourage the president to be more outspoken about this, the president's budget has no food stamp cuts in it. Indeed, he's proposed restoring this November 1st across-the-board cut.
But at this point, the decks are stacked against the poor, the hungry, and the children in this country who depend upon this.
I think sometimes it's an uphill battle, and I think both in terms of the job market and in terms of public support, the deck stacked against low-income people in this country, but there are ways to fight back, and we need to fight back.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ian. It's a pleasure to be on.
Again, I've been speaking with Jim Wild, who's the president of the Food Research and Action Center. Previously, he was program director and general counsel at the Children's Defense Fund, and he has litigated major law reform and class action cases in the Federal Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court on Social Security, Medicaid, AFDC, food stamps, and other public benefits issues. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasts at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.